Upheaval. Breaking Point. Chapter 4. The Wheels Turn. With Twilight Sparkle sent safely back to Equestria proper, Prince Tirado found himself in a fortress of rather anxious pony soldiers, waiting for him to issue orders or explain his presence in their fortress. He had heard the frightened whispers going on among some of the soldiers, that he was here because Fenrir was going to lead the next wolven attack. That was untrue. Several centuries had passed since he, Fenrir, Uruguk, and Sesith formed a pact to not involve themselves directly during the battles. It was, perhaps, the only thing they agreed on. He still remembered the last battle he had directly participated in. It was here in Fangbreaker Fortress where he led his ponies against Fenrir and his wolven. He had charged into the fray, laughing as he faced the giant wolf's gaping maw. The two of them eagerly threw themselves at each other in a frenzy of hoofs, horn, fang, and claw. When the battle rage in both of them faded enough to let them gain some awareness of the battle, they were already fighting alone. Tirado remembered that sight well, a carpet of corpses as far as the eye could see. The sight was sickening, an image he knew he would carry into the centuries. One look at Fenrir's eyes told him that the giant wolf knew that they had gone too far. The pact took place only hours later. It was probably because of that battle that his presence unnerved the ponies of Fangbreaker Fortress. He would have to assure them that that was not his business here.
"Clear the room," he said.
At once, all the guards in the audience chamber filed out of the doors. Once he was alone, Tirado concentrated on a spell. His horn glowed softly as an image of his older sister materialized before him.
"I've done as you asked, Celestia," he said. "I trust that your protege is now back in her home?"
"She is," Celestia replied. "Thank you for finding her and bringing her back, Tirado."
Tirado stared quietly at his sister for a while. A millennium had passed since he last talked to her, and now he suddenly gets to speak with her twice in a day. She was still as he remembered her to be, radiantly white, her rainbow mane soft and flowing, her chiseled features regal and her eyes piercing, yet calm. But he noticed the change as well. There was an air of tension around her. Tension that he recognized with ease after many interrogations of ponies who had broken his laws. He saw defensiveness, suspicion, and a slight hint of fear. He had once had a portion of his wing torn off by a lucky swipe from Uruguk, but seeing these things in his sister's face was a deeper wound. Outwardly, though, he remained flippant.
"You're welcome," he said.
"You have an interesting student, Celestia. She managed to use a pretty big mana battery without blowing herself up."
"She's my protege," Celestia replied with a hint of pride in her voice.
"Funny things, those mana batteries," Tirado continued. "This whole matter reminds me of an incident out here around 200 years ago. A rather high-ranking unicorn in my legion decided to see what the realm he had been defending looked like without permission. So he stole a couple of those mana batteries to sneak past your barrier. After that, he sort of just disappeared. You wouldn't know anything about that now, would you?"
Celestia remained perfectly calm when she answered.
"I don't know what you're talking about, Tirado. But if that unicorn threatened to bring war to my realm, he brought whatever fate he met upon himself."
Tirado quelled an urge to snort. Being lied to his face was not a pleasant sensation.
"That business aside, we didn't really get to chat this morning," he said. "Tell me, how's our baby sister? I hear she's back from her 1,000-year time out."
"Luna is doing well," Celestia replied. "She's still recovering after all she's been through."
"That's nice. Perhaps I'll have a little chat with her later."
"Tirado, she's scared that you'll still want to kill her after all this time."
"Now where did she get that silly idea? Don't tell me you didn't fill in that crater I left from the last time."
"Tirado..." Tirado let out a sigh.
"All right, I'll admit it," he said. "I still think you should have executed her. Better a swift death than a 1,000-year shackling to an abomination."
The defensiveness in Celestia's tone increased.
"She's back, and she's fine," she answered. "How can you tell me that I made the wrong decision?"
"Are you sure?"
Tirado turned grim as he spoke.
"Can you honestly tell me that there are no lingering traces of Nightmare Moon?"
"Why must you bring this up, Tirado?"
Celestia looked away when she answered, and Tirado already knew the answer to his question.
"Because you're doing it again, Celestia!"
Tirado stomped a hoof for emphasis, causing the walls to vibrate briefly.
You're hatching another half-baked plan that's going to turn around and bite your flank. You know as well as I do that a memory lock is not perfect, that a unicorn as gifted as your student is capable of breaking it with enough effort.
Twilight Sparkle has no reason to try and break the memory lock. She also needs a trigger, and that's something she does not have. After a few days, she will be glad to dismiss that missing time in her mind.
That's a naive plan.
Enough! Celestia's voice cracked. She is my student, and a pony of my realm. I will decide her fate, not you.
Is that so? Then tell me what your decision will be when she does remember. Banishment? Death? Do you think that she will submit herself to another memory lock? If she spreads word before you catch her, how many ponies will pay for that slip?
That will never happen, Celestia answered. The hurt in her tone caused her brother to hesitate. You promised to abide by my decisions, Torado.
I promised to defend you, Torado answered, his tone soft. I have, and I still do.
Celestia didn't answer again. Torado could only sigh and then dismiss the spell.
See you in 1,000 years, dearest sister, he muttered.
He left the audience chamber and walked towards the fortress commander's office. He had been receiving reports of a large amount of movement from the Wolven recently. He may as well see to that while he was here. It wasn't long before Vanguard Clash heard from one of the guards that Twilight Sparkle had subjected herself to a memory lock and got sent home. In his own quarters within Fangbreaker Fortress's barracks, he had plenty of time during his break to think about what had happened. His barding was resting on a stand next to his bed, while his weapon hung by a wall. It was going to be some time before he would need them. Part of him was relieved to know that she had not been executed or forced to stay in the Barrier Lands for the rest of her life. Another part questioned why he should even care, the same part that had earlier protested when he gave Twilight Sparkle his Legionnaire emblem. It was an impulsive act on his part. He had hoped that Princess Celestia valued a precious student enough to want her back in Equestria proper. He had also guessed that the only way to accomplish that was to somehow keep Twilight from remembering anything that had happened to her here. Counting on those things, he had handed her the emblem with the faint hope that it would help her overcome the spell. It was only after he left Twilight did he start to question why he would do such a thing. What had he to accomplish by having a chosen pony live with the knowledge of what happened out here? He risked Princess Celestia's and Prince Torado's wrath for a cause he wasn't sure he believed in. Vanguard had never felt the need to be validated for what he did for Equestria, like Pyre Valor and some ponies did. He felt no connection to Equestria proper, or its ponies, and he didn't care if they knew he existed or not. The Barrier Lands were his home, and he would fight to defend his home from invaders. His loyalty to his home also meant loyalty to its ruler, and if Prince Torado supported Princess Celestia's decision to partition her realm, then he wasn't going to question his leader. He believed that wholly. Why then did he suddenly want to bring the truth to Equestria proper?
No, he thought. This has nothing to do with Equestria proper. I didn't do this for a bunch of ponies that I've never met.
That train of thought led Vanguard to a conclusion he had suspected, but wanted to avoid. It wasn't for ponies he had never met, but for a pony that he did meet.
Why won't you just give a straight answer? Every time you explain something, you just throw in more questions.
To Vanguard's surprise, he had actually felt sheepish back then. Leading her on and then giving almost nothing was wrong, and he admitted it. He felt that he owed her some answers. Perhaps it was the way she asked. She had an inquisitive nature, a sincere desire to find out that somehow shone through despite being in a strange land and suddenly being exposed to a violent encounter. He wanted to reply to that nature, but he also knew that it wasn't his place. Prince Torado would decide how much she should know. Still, the thought of her leaving this place and returning home with nothing didn't sit well with him. It was that discomfort that pushed the emblem from his hoof to hers. A knock on the door forced Vanguard to put aside his thoughts for later.
Who is it? He asked.
It's Pyre, came the answer. May I come in?
Vanguard opened the door and found himself face to face with his vice captain. Pyre Valor looked a little surprised when she saw him, likely because he was unarmored. Then she cast her eyes aside, not quite willing to meet his gaze.
Need something?
He asked.
I wanted to apologize, Pyre Valor spoke quietly, a far cry from the angry unicorn who looked like she was going to burn everything nearby to a crisp.
I was acting like a nag during the mission, questioning your orders and letting my temper get the better of me. It's just that the Chosen had me seeing red. I didn't expect that actually meeting one would rile me up so badly. She exhaled before continuing. I'm making excuses. No wonder the commander picked you as captain.
We both know that Dreadstep likely picked between the two of us by flipping a coin, Vanguard answered.
Well, it's clear now that he didn't have to. Vanguard let out a sigh and put a hoof on Pyre's shoulder.
Apology accepted,
he said.
Besides, you more than made up for it when we attacked that Wolven camp. The entire place stank of roasted Wolven once we were through,
he said with a grin. So says the pony who cut his way to Coldhoof before he could get up and find out what the ruckus was about, Pyrevala returned the smile when she replied. Poor Neg probably crapped a pile while staring at your blades. Vanguard nodded and then walked over to his bed.
I'm going to catch up on some sleep before our squad gets sent out again, he said. Need anything else?
The unicorn was silent for a while. Vanguard swiftly noticed the change in her mood. Vanguard, do you really think that Cold Hoof was insane? Pyrevalor asked.
He tried to sell out an entire fortress of his fellow ponies to Wolvengard,
Vanguard replied.
I don't care what his reasons were. Anyone who can run off and let hundreds of ponies die is mad and has to be put down.
I see. Enjoy your break then, Vanguard. With that, Pyrevalor left the room and closed the door. Vanguard lay down on his bed and stared at the ceiling.
Catching up on sleep, huh?
He said to himself. His thoughts shifted from one unicorn to another. Evening was approaching. He wondered if Equestria proper experienced night and day at the same time as the barrier lands. He shook his head.
I'm overthinking things, he thought. That emblem is probably gathering dust at some forgotten corner of her house, if she hasn't tossed it into a gutter yet.
Spike was awake to the morning's first rays, as was his routine. He had breakfast to prepare, then bedrooms to tidy up. The tedium of daily chores never did bother him much, but it bothered him even less today. He was only too happy to maintain a house for two occupants once more. Gonna have to tidy up the library, too, he thought. She was really at it last night. He decided to delay breakfast and cleaning up Twilight's bedroom, and started tidying up the rest of the house. Twilight was probably still asleep. Who knows what she went through when she disappeared? Not only that, she started going through her books when the weird coin fell out of her bag. She was still at it when he headed for bed. Once most of the house was cleaned up, Spike headed for the library, expecting an utter disaster of a mess. When he got there, his jaw dropped. He was partly right. Books had been strewn everywhere, flung telekinetically across the floor, stacked into piles on the tables, or haphazardly replaced in the shelves. What he didn't expect, however, was to find Twilight still inside the library. Several books were open before her, and she scanned through them quickly and thoroughly.
Twilight, Spike said in alarm, don't tell me you've been here all night. All right, I won't,
Twilight said irritably. She closed one book and tossed it aside. Spike looked at the title. Arcane Symbols and Associated Meanings.
Help me go through the rest of these, Spike.
Spike stepped past several scattered books, glancing at their titles as he did so. Ancient Equestrian Pictograms, Magical Bestiary, A Study on Heraldry, Giant Ponies, Myth or History? The pattern was obvious.
Not until you put these books down and get some sleep, he said. You look awful.
What are you talking about? Twilight snapped.
It's not that late.
You're right. It's not late. It's early. As in early morning? Twilight paused and put the book she was reading down.
What?
She asked.
That can't be true.
Spike walked over to a window and opened it, sending rays of sunlight streaming into the room.
Get some sleep, Twilight, he insisted. That coin's not going anywhere. Besides, what's so important about it?
Twilight looked at the silver coin and winced. Even looking at it nudged painfully at her mind.
What was this thing? What did it mean?
All she knew was that it was a clue to what happened to her during that missing time when she disappeared. Whatever it was caused a lot of uneasiness inside her. That, and an incredibly urgent need to find out what it was. But she had found nothing during her frantic search. Not even the smallest reference to anything that the image on the coin could possibly mean. The hoof crushing the creatures beneath it evoked wrath and violence, but it also stirred feelings of nobility and sacrifice within her. It was probably because whoever the hoof belonged to had paid a price for attacking. The wolf, the bear, and the snake seemed like enemies, and their reprisal for being crushed looked quite painful. And then there were the engraved words on the back of the coin. No one else needs to suffer. What did that mean? She guessed that it was in reference to the hoof at the other side of the coin. It impressed on her that whoever the hoof belonged to had crushed these creatures and suffered their retaliation so that no one else had to. But all these interpretations were mere guesswork. She needed a reference of sorts. Those creatures may not even represent actual creatures, but instead served as symbols for less tangible things. She couldn't understand why there were no references in the library, and it was certainly a blow to the pride she had on the collection. She tried to stifle a yawn, and failed. Spike was right. She needed some sleep.
"You're right, Spike," she said. "I'm getting some sleep. Could you tidy things up here?"
The baby dragon was both relieved and horrified by the response. He looked around him and cringed at the amount of work he was about to do. With a sigh, he got to work. He was going to miss getting to take out Rarity's trash for her. Ah, the sacrifices he had to make. Twilight staggered onto bed, staying upright long enough to place the coin on a bedside table. Despite her sleepiness, she was still thinking about what to do with the coin next. She'd probably have to go to Canterlot and visit its library. There had to be something there for sure. It was practically the repository of all existing knowledge on Equestria. Maybe she could also ask Princess Celestia. At that moment, Twilight suddenly felt a sharp pain in her head. She winced and brought a hoof up to massage it. It wasn't just pain as well. The sense of urgency and apprehension she felt when she looked at the coin had increased in intensity. She took it as a sign that she was going in the right direction. With a plan in place, she let herself drift off.